For centuries, two major world faiths, Christianity and Islam, have clashed over cities, lands, and ideology. Today, this clash has reached a new level with the rise of militant jihad and the growing presence of Muslims in Western nations. As you may remember, Pope Benedict XVI stirred controversy with recent comments about the nature and character of Islam. On a trip to Turkey, he sought to bridge the gulf between the two faiths, basically leaving a message, can't we all get along? Well, can we? Is there any possibility of reconciliation between the two faiths? What could this religious conflict mean for the future, your future? We'll examine those and other issues in this fascinating subject of Islam and Christianity. Stay with us on Beyond Today.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Pope Benedict XVI caused quite a stir on September 12, 2006, when he addressed students at the University of Regensburg in southern Germany. The Pope quoted from a 14th century emperor, Manuel Palaeologus. His words were written sometime between 1394 and 1402 during a long siege of Constantinople, which is modern Istanbul. The quote went like this, "Show me just what Muhammad brought that was new, and there you will find things only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread by the sword the faith he preached." The emperor was the supreme ruler of the Byzantine Empire, the Eastern Roman Empire founded by Constantine the Great in the 4th century. His words turned out to be quite prophetic. The empire fell to invading Islamic forces a little over 50 years later. Its greatest Orthodox Christian church celebrated a final Christian ritual the night the capital fell. The next day it was turned into a mosque and remains a mosque to this day. This wasn't the first time a nation claiming allegiance to Jesus Christ fell to the followers of the Prophet Muhammad, nor was it to be the last time that Christian and Muslim forces fought. For 1,400 years, there's been a constant struggle between the Islamic world and the Christian world. That struggle diminished somewhat during the last two centuries with the ascendancy of the West, but it's back again, dramatically brought to the world's attention by the events of the 9/11 attack on America. Today, we're going to look at Islam and Christianity, an historic relationship that goes back 14 centuries. My guest today is Melvin Rhodes, a senior writer for the Good News magazine, an author, and an expert on Middle Eastern affairs. When we look at what Pope Benedict said in his speech, and the aftermath of that, Melvin, was that a priest and a nun were both killed and other churches were ransacked. Why, when this pope speaks, do people listen?
I think Michael Novak, the theologian, summed it up well recently in a quote I saw in the Wall Street Journal. He said that the pope's role is to represent Western civilization. We need to remember that today when we think of the West, we think about the United States and the nations of Western Europe. But originally the expression the West referred to the Western Roman Empire. The Western Roman Empire was ruled from Rome. And of course the Roman Church was very influential towards the end of the Roman Empire and afterwards as well. So the Pope has had this authoritative role for almost 2,000 years. In the last few years, we've also seen an increase in the stature of the papacy under the reign of John Paul II.
And that, sometimes called John Paul the Great by others.
Yes, he is. You know, we've seen that continue with Pope Benedict as well. And I think also because of the problems that the United States is having in different parts of the world, particularly the Middle East, the Pope's stature has been raised as the leader of the world, as a spokesman towards Islam. I think we're seeing a rise again in the stature of the papacy, just as happened in the 11th century. You know, in the year 1000, a lot of people were expecting apocalyptic events to be fulfilled because it was the end of the first millennium. And then after that, things settled down. And in the 11th century, you saw the great age of faith, the building of all those great cathedrals in Europe, and the papacy rose in stature. And we're seeing something similar again today, that things are reviving.
Perhaps an expectation that people have of larger things to come.
Yes.
Well, when the Pope was in Turkey recently, made this historic trip there amid a great deal of speculation and controversy, it was interesting to note that he addressed the diplomats. Why was that?
Well, to answer that, I can illustrate that with something from our own lives. My wife and I and our children lived in Ghana in West Africa for 7 years, and we lived just a few houses down from the residence of the ambassador of the Holy See. People forget that the Vatican is not only a church, it's also a country, and it has ambassadors in different nations around the world. And the ambassador representing the Holy See in Accra, Ghana, was the doyen of the diplomatic corps.
The senior person.
He was the senior person in the diplomatic corps, meaning he had been there longer than any other diplomat. You know, most diplomats who go out from the U.S. go for 2, 3, or 4 years.
And are replaced by a new president or new administration.
Yes, exactly. And it's the same with most countries. But I think those representing the papacy stay much longer. So then they become the senior diplomat, which means that all new diplomats who go are kind of welcomed by them and taught by them. And, whenever the opportunity presents itself, they have the opportunity to speak to all the diplomats.
So they are a sovereign state. The Vatican occupies sovereign territory right there within the midst of Rome.
Yes, and the irony is it actually is the smallest state in the world. It's only 1 square mile. But its influence far surpasses that of most countries in the world. In fact, maybe all countries.
Yeah, the size of its territory. Well, we're talking about the clash of these two faiths, Islam and Christianity. Let's look at a moment for what's the main difference between Christianity, Western Christianity, and Islam?
Well, Islam came along about 600 years after Christianity and was started by the Prophet Muhammad. There are a couple of major differences. There are also lots of other differences, but the major ones are that in the religion of Islam, they worship the one God, Allah. And in Christianity, traditional Christians believe in a Trinity, which the Muslims believe is blasphemy. Because Christians believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, they consider that blasphemy and idolatry as well.
The Trinity being the idea of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit being a triune or a three type of Godhead that explains who
yes.
God is.
They consider Christians. That a form of polytheism, and therefore it's pagan and it's idolatrous.
So that would be a heretical doctrine. What else might be a difference between the two?
Well, they believe Jesus Christ was a prophet. So they look to Jesus Christ. They believe in Abraham. They believe Abraham had his two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. And they believe in Moses. But they believe that they were all prophets or teachers. They believe that Muhammad was the final prophet and the most important one. They believe, too, that the Quran, which is the words that Muhammad received in his visions, their holy book. Well, they believe it's actually superior to the Bible.
So they look upon Christ as merely a prophet, not as the divine Son of God, which is a main tenet of Christianity.
That's correct. Yeah.
So they would consider that idolatry, the fact that Christ would be worshipped as a god then.
Yes.
Okay. Islam came along in the 7th century, and then before, much longer, certainly after the death of the Prophet Muhammad, it had spread out of the Middle Eastern area. What was the major cause of that?
It's amazing how fast and how far it spread. Muhammad, in his farewell address to his followers, called on the people to spread the new religion by the sword, which is exactly what they did.
By violence.
By violence. And the religion spread throughout Arabia. It united the whole Arabian Peninsula very quickly. And then it spread westwards, right along the North African coast. It spread eastwards and northwards, touched on the Byzantine Empire and the Persian Empire. But then when it got right along the North African coast, in the year 711, Muslims arrived in Gibraltar at the southern tip of Spain. And within,
in Europe. So
in
they had launched to Europe then.
Within 21 years, they had gone all the way through Spain, the Iberian Peninsula, right up into France. And they were not defeated until they got to the gates of Paris exactly 100 years after the death of Muhammad in 732.
And they were stopped there.
They were stopped there, yes.
It's a fascinating subject, and it's one that is going to be impacting all of our lives in the near future. It already is. Our booklet that we're featuring today is The Middle East and Bible Prophecy. We have a free copy waiting for you, or you can go online at beyondtoday.tv to look more into this very important subject. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The longest prophecy in the Bible predicts a global war will come from the Middle East. You need to understand how a future Arab confederation will challenge the world and where today's crises in Iraq and Jerusalem are leading. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of The Middle East in Bible Prophecy. Read where all the major powers and trends in the Middle East today are in the Bible, including the current global war of terrorism against the United States and Israel. See how modern Islam, Judaism, and Christianity will bring the world to unparalleled danger. See how the coming of Islam fulfilled prophecies made 4,000 years ago. It's all in the Bible, as you will discover in your free copy of The Middle East in Bible Prophecy. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv.
And we are back to Beyond Today. We are talking about Islam and Christianity, A Clash of Faiths. Our featured booklet that we are offering on this program is The Middle East in Bible Prophecy. This booklet will go into a great deal more detail about this very subject of Islam, Christianity, and what is taking place in the Middle East in the prophecies of your Bible that give you an insight into not only what is taking place today, but what's going to happen in the future. The Middle East in Bible Prophecy, you want to be sure and read the entire copy of that. It's on our website at beyondtoday.tv. What does all of this have to do with your life? A pope makes a speech and your life isn't affected. You go to work, you shop, you see a movie, and life goes on without any change. These are events very far away. They don't seem to impact events in your neighborhood. Your life goes on. But history and the Bible tell us that we don't live in a bubble, and we are not always shielded from events that shape the world. Sooner or later, it comes to our doorstep. When it does, it changes our lives. In 1940, a place and time long ago, my parents were newly married and starting out life in small-town America. Places like Tokyo, Rome, and Berlin were far away. But powerful forces were working. Men with evil ideas turned their world and that of many others upside down in what was called World War II. Similar forces are gathering today that will change your world. You can understand in advance what those forces are. Bible prophecy has a great deal to tell us about the religious landscape of our modern world. When we combine prophecy with history, we can begin to make sense of today's world and what lies ahead for all of us. Melvin, in our last segment, we were talking about the fact of this battle that took place in the year 732, called in history the Battle of Tours, that stopped the Islamic advance into Europe at that time. What was the next major clash between Islam and the Christian world after that date of 732?
It was really about 300 years later. In fact, in 1071, there was a battle called the Battle of Manzikert in what is now eastern Turkey, right up where Armenia is. And that was a major clash again between Islam and the Christian world. This time it was the Empire of Byzantium, which is the Eastern Roman Empire. You know, after the Roman Empire fell apart, the Eastern Empire continued. The capital was Constantinople.
Now, that's the modern city of Istanbul in Turkey today.
That's right. All right. Yes, because the Eastern Empire itself totally collapsed in 1453 and was taken over by Islamic forces. But in 1071, it was still a going concern. It was
quite a large empire.
It was a very large empire, very powerful, one of the superpowers.
Most people don't even know that fact.
No, it lasted about 1,000 years, and really it was a superpower, at least for the first few 100 years. And it was a Christian empire. It was Orthodox Christian. And in 1071, there was a major clash. The Byzantines actually had the bigger military, but the Muslims won. And this led directly to the Crusades, which began in 1095, and then you had more clashes between the two.
Now, the Crusades are something that people can at least begin to understand. They've heard that term. You know, all of this seems like ancient history to Americans, but how relevant really is it to our life today?
It's very relevant. It's very relevant to today. If you remember, just after the events of September the 11th, President Bush called for a crusade against radical Islam. He could not have chosen a worse word. And he hasn't used that word since.
As I recall, that word disappeared quite quickly.
Oh, very quickly, yes, because the word has strong emotional connotations to people in the Middle East. It brings back memories of the humiliation of the Crusades. Not only did Catholic forces invade the Holy Land and take control for the best part of 2 centuries in various areas, but also that they were guilty of the most awful atrocities. They did totally unchristian things to the Muslims. And so the Muslims were deeply offended by the presence of Christians themselves and also by the atrocities. And they have long memories. What happened 1,000 years ago is to them just like yesterday. In fact, it's also interesting when you think about the impact it has today. Throughout the Muslim world, they see Israel, the Jewish nation of Israel, which exists right now in the Middle East, as something similar to the Kingdom of Jerusalem, which was set up in the 11th century by the Crusaders. Because the Kingdom of Jerusalem lasted for less than a century. Mm-hmm. And they feel that Israel is not going to last a century either. They want to destroy it. But it's an alien presence. It is not Islamic. And so they want it out of there, just as they wanted the Christian Kingdom of Jerusalem out of there.
We should point out that the state of Israel today is barely 60 years old. But they've already experienced a great deal of conflict there.
Yes, and that conflict is not going to end because, you know, most of the nations in the Islamic world do not want Israel to exist. And I think if everybody had a choice, they would rather it go.
We probably should point out, this is just another point to bring out about the Crusades, even though it's traditionally the Christian West against the Muslim East. But during those Crusades, and there were more than one, there was also a crusade against others of the Christian faith, wasn't it?
Yes, there was. In fact, I mentioned the Battle of Manzikert in 1071.
Christians upon Christians.
Yes. In 1054, the Eastern Church broke away from the Western Church. So the Orthodox Church finally separated formally from Rome in 1054. And it was in 1095 that the Pope, Urban II, called on the nations of the West to launch a crusade against Islam. And one reason he did that was because Muslims were giving trouble to Christian pilgrims going to the Holy Land. But another reason was because he wanted to assert his authority over the Eastern churches who had just broken away. So it was an attempt to try to reunite all the different factions within Christendom.
But to reunite it under the authority of the Pope or the Bishop of Rome, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that Rome believes that the Pope is the vicar of Christ, that his position was given to him by Jesus Christ, and that it has supremacy over all other churches.
And we should point out that that was also at about the same time, relatively speaking, that led to this break in Christianity between the East and the West, and largely because of the authority of the Pope at Rome.
That was a major factor, yes.
Okay. Have members of these two religions, Islam and Christianity, we talk about the Crusades and they're fighting a lot, but have they ever really gotten along with each other? Is there a history of that?
Well, during the 800s or 900s in Spain, which the Muslims refer to as Al-Andalus, it was ruled by Muslims. And at that particular time, Christians and Jews enjoyed peace and prosperity within that Islamic empire in Spain.
They coexisted together there.
They coexisted. There was discrimination against them. They had to pay special taxes, for example. But they could still practice their religion in peace and freedom. So there was that period of cooperation. And later on, more recently, during the period of the Ottoman Empire, which did not end until 1922, the Ottoman Empire in the Middle East allowed Christians and Jews as well to practice their religion.
And, of course, it's in Spain that is part of the region, the territory, that modern Islamic jihadists want to reclaim in the name of Allah.
They believe that all territory that was, in their minds, liberated by Islam belongs to Islam forever. It's a part of the Dar el-Islam, which meant the territory of Islam or the kingdom of Islam, and it must be Islamic forever. So Spain is a part of what they claim. Yeah.
Religion is a very powerful mixture and creates a great deal of emotion and conflict. The book that we're offering today is The Middle East and Bible Prophecy. We'll be right back after this and cover more of this important topic for you. Stay with us.
The longest prophecy in the Bible predicts gigantic global wars will ignite in the Middle East. Understand now where conflicts in Iraq, Jerusalem, and the war on terror are leading America and the world in your free copy of The Middle East in Bible Prophecy. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Understand The Middle East in Bible Prophecy. Starting with a fantasy-like success, America went to war in Iraq only to find danger at the crossroads of past and future, east and west, hope and despair. Understand what it all means in your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Interpret events for America at the crossroads. Read the Good News Magazine.
And we are back to Beyond Today. Today we're talking about Islam and Christianity, this historic clash between two very important world faiths. The booklet that we are offering today is The Middle East and Bible Prophecy. You can go online at beyondtoday.tv to obtain a copy of this publication or to read it there online. And at the same time, you will receive a free subscription to our flagship publication, The Good News Magazine. This is published six times a year with articles dealing with Bible prophecy, Christian living, doctrine, and spiritual instruction that will help you in your life and your understanding of the Bible, the Word of God, and your relationship with your Creator. I might also mention on this program, my guest is Melvin Rhodes, who was also the principal writer of this booklet, The Middle East in Bible Prophecy, and is very knowledgeable of the affairs of this very volatile region and its impact upon our world today. Melvin, we're looking at this historic struggle between the Islam and the West, and a problem that has resurfaced following the comments that were made by the Pope here recently in Germany. Why has this tension between these two faiths, especially in the area of the Middle East, increased since the end of World War II?
I think the primary reason why the whole area has become much more tense was the establishment of the Jewish nation of Israel in 1948. I think another factor is that gradually after World War II, the colonial era came to an end. The British and the French in particular had kept the Middle East under control as they colonized it for a long period of time. And as they left, so things came to the surface. The presence of U.S. troops in the area has also been a contributing factor. What we would call cultural imperialism is another factor. Our culture, our American culture, is pervasive. And I think a lot of people around the world feel threatened by our culture.
Specifically, only American culture?
Primarily American culture, just Western culture in general. Mm-hmm. The secular values that we have, our entertainment, the values that are portrayed, for example, in our television programs and our movies, our music, even the clothes that people, especially young people, wear, all of these things give many of the people in the Middle East the feeling that we're trying to take over, and they don't like that. And I think added to that in the past few years has been the influence of satellite television. Now, that wasn't available till the 90s, but satellite television has been bringing American TV shows into people's homes, and, you know, they don't like the values on those shows. Also, of course, you have television stations like Al Jazeera that bring in pictures of things that, you know, have been done by Israelis and by Americans and by the British and others.
Acts of violence.
They only show the one side, and this, of course, turns people more and more against us.
But of course, Al Jazeera now has begun on satellite to broadcast into Western homes, especially America. I wonder if it'll have the same impact.
It's going to be interesting to see what impact it has.
Well, I want to give you a quote. You, as I mentioned, you were the primary author of this book of the Middle East and Bible Prophecy. I want to give you a quote that you wrote in this booklet. A fundamental aspect of Islamic teaching is that Islam must eventually become the dominant religion of the entire world. What does this mean for the future?
Well, if you think it through, it means the inevitability of a clash between the West, which is largely secular, and the world of Islam, because obviously most people in the West are not going to convert to Islam by force or even by choice. So there's bound to be a clash.
So we can look forward to more conflict from that area.
I believe so, yes.
So there's going to be a conflict. So why then did the Pope make his remarks against Islam? What was his purpose, you think, when he made that statement and quoting from about Muhammad and from this philosopher king? And what was his intent?
Well, I think, first of all, it should be stressed that the Pope knew what he was saying.
I believe that, too.
You know, the Vatican's been around a long time, and these speeches are very carefully prepared, so he knew what he was saying. Perhaps he felt there was time for a dialogue with the Islamic world, and he was trying to provoke that dialogue. But I think there may be something else here, too. You know, the Catholic Church tends to be one step ahead of the rest of us when it comes to world politics. If I can go back a little bit here, for example, in 1939, realizing that war in Europe was inevitable, they chose Pius XII as Pope. Pius XII, Eugenio Pacelli, had been their ambassador to Germany previously. Right. So he knew the German leadership. So he was the ideal person for the papacy. In 1978, more recently, realizing that communism was coming to an end, they chose a Polish pope, John Paul II.
From the East.
And very quickly, the whole of the edifice of communism fell apart. Why would they have chosen a German pope in 2005 to succeed John Paul II? I think one reason is because the time for European unity has come, and Germany is the dominant power in Europe. There is also a need very urgently for Europe to unite in order to stem this threat from Islam, which has been growing and, of course, has been very noticeable since September the 11th. So again, they're one step ahead, preparing for what they see as the inevitability of a struggle with Islam for world domination.
Well, part of what they must see in Europe is that the Muslims have made an advance back into Europe once again, but this time through immigration. I think some of the material that I've read describes the fact that there are, at least in France in 2005, there were more births to Muslim parents than there were to French parents. And this is across the continent, and there are a number of Muslims there, and it's beginning to change the whole complexion of Europe. Is there a concern there of what's going to take place, perhaps something from a biblical perspective?
There's definitely concern there about that. I mean, when you travel to Europe, you hear that from a lot of different people. They express concerns about it. At this point, nobody seems willing to do anything about it, but I believe that that will change. When we look at the scriptures, we can see in Daniel chapter 11, for example, beginning in verse 40, that at the time of the end, so prior to the time when Jesus Christ returns, there's going to be this clash of civilizations. It talks about a king of the south from the Islamic world who pushes against a king of the north, which is a revived Roman Empire prophesied in the Bible. And there's a clash between these two, just like the clash that you had during the Crusades between Islam and Roman Catholicism. We're going to see something very similar again.
So we have more troubles ahead of us in this situation.
I believe that's true, yes.
It's going to be impacting our future, your future, and the future of the world. We'll be right back with another thought to conclude this message of Islam and Christianity, a clash of civilizations. Stay with us.
The longest prophecy in the Bible predicts gigantic global wars will ignite in the Middle East. Understand now where conflicts in Iraq, Jerusalem, and the war on terror are leading America and the world in your free copy of The Middle East in Bible Prophecy. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Understand The Middle East in Bible Prophecy.
The current clash between Islam and Christianity is another sad chapter in the long story of religion. Both Islam and Christianity have much in their history that causes the current strife. Religious strife is one of the signs of the end of the age. Jesus warns his followers that they need to be alert to the trends that will precede his return and do not be caught spiritually unprepared. He said, "Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is." It will not be until man begins to live by the simple teachings of Jesus of Nazareth that religion will be able to lead the world to peace. Until then, we challenge you to believe, to examine your beliefs to see if they compare to the Bible. Only when our beliefs harmonize with God's teachings will we see the end of the religious wars that rob us of peace. Melvin, thanks for being with us on Beyond Today.
Thank you.
Remember, when you're looking to understand your future, this is the program that's Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.